Elisha had a very unique ministry recorded for us in 2 Kings. Unlike many other biblical prophets, Elisha's ministry was marked by numerous spectacular displays of God's power as a rebuke to people who favored false gods and false religion over the true God. It was also a reminder of the utter foolishness of abandoning our Creator. Welcome to the Wisdom Journey. Today, Stephen Davey has a lesson for you called A Ministry of Miracles.
Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 25 that those who rebuke the wicked will be rewarded. Well, they may not be rewarded by the people they rebuke, but God will reward them for courageously standing up for the truth. Without a doubt, the prophets Elijah and Elisha received a great reward as they proved over and over again that God is the true and living God. And now here today, we're in 2 Kings chapter 3 and chapter 4, where Elisha is going to perform several more miracles as he stands up for God. King Ahaziah, the son of the wicked King Ahab, has died after reigning for only 2 years. And now Jehoram, another son of Ahab, takes the throne of Israel. Chapter 3, verse 2 tells us that just like his father and his older brother, Jehoram did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Jehoram immediately faces the Moabite rebellion that began during his brother's reign. And we're told here in verse 4 that the Moabites had been paying tribute to Israel in the form of lambs and wool. But now they've stopped paying that, and of course, Jehoram mobilizes his army to attack. He's not alone. He's joined by Judah's king, Jehoshaphat, and the king of Edom. Now, evidently, they want to put down this Moabite insurrection as well. Well, as they approach Moab from Edom, they run into a big problem. Verse 9 tells us here, there was not water for the army or for the animals that followed them. Now, we're not told why, but Jehoram assumes the Lord is behind this problem. So Jehoram and the other two kings go down to talk to Elisha. But Elisha's not impressed by them. In fact, he rebukes Jehoram here in verse 13. He says to him, "What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and to the prophets of your mother." In other words, go ask all those false gods that your dad and mom, Ahab and Jezebel, love so much. He says here in verse 14, "Were it not that I have regard for Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would neither look at you, Jehoram, nor take time to see you." Talk about courage in the face of this wicked king. Well, Elisha delivers from God a promise that the next day, God will miraculously send a river of water to fill this dry stream bed nearby. The text may indicate that the pools or the trenches are to be dug now by the king's men, and they're to hold all the excess water. Elisha makes it clear, however, that God is not going to send water by way of rain or wind, but by filling these trenches with water that's just going to come rushing in miraculously like some wave. Elisha also promises them that the Lord will deliver Moab into their hand. Well, the next morning, that wave of water comes rushing in, and the morning sunlight glancing off this water appears to be red. And from a distance, that enemy Moabite army assumes it's blood. And they interpret it to mean that, well, the armies of Israel and Edom have turned on each other, and their bloodshed has colored the water red. So they rush down toward the camp. They're going to clean up all the spoil. But they're surprised when they get there, there's a living army down there waiting for them, and they are entirely defeated. Now, we're told here in verse 26 that the Moabite king who has retreated into a city Well, he realizes he's about to be taken captive, and in desperation, he tragically sacrifices his oldest son, the heir to the throne, as an offering to his god, Chemosh. In fact, verse 27 tells us that following this horrific act up there on the city wall, the Bible says there came great wrath against Israel, and they withdrew from him and returned to their land. Now, frankly, we don't know what this great wrath was that brought the battle to an end. Some believe Israel was so appalled by this human sacrifice that they stopped fighting and just went home. Others believe that upon witnessing this, the Israelite soldiers were struck with guilt over allowing child sacrifice in their own land. Others believe that God permitted some sort of demonic power to stop the battle. Well, we don't know exactly. It's interesting that archaeologists have discovered what they call the Moabite stone in this land on which Misha, the Moabite king, recorded his own version of this very battle. And he claims to have stayed alive with the help of his god, Chemosh. Well, one thing's for sure, beloved. Israel, Judah, and Edom have seen the mercy and power of God in providing this water they desperately needed. And they've also seen the depths of idolatry and depravity in this Moabite king who sacrificed his own son in order to stay alive. Well, now here in chapter 4, we have a series of miracles performed, and they're not performed on a national stage, but on a personal stage in the presence of individuals and families. Verse 1 records, "Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.'" Well, with her husband gone, she has no means of support. Her sons are in danger of being put to work by this creditor until her debts are paid. So Elisha comes along, and in verse 3, he tells her to borrow empty vessels from her neighbors and start pouring the oil from her oil jar into these empty containers. And as she does, the oil just keeps on pouring out until all the containers are full. She's now able to sell the oil. She can pay her debts. She's able to keep her family together. Now, next here in verse 8, we're told about a wealthy couple living in the village of Shunem in the Jezreel Valley. They build onto their home. They make an addition, and it's a lovely room where Elisha can stay whenever he passes by. Frankly, this would have been a five-star hotel in today's world. Well, Elisha asks his assistant, Gehazi, what can they do now to thank this couple? And Gehazi says here in verse 14, well, she has no son, and her husband is old. So Elisha calls this woman forward and promises her that she will have a son within a year. And, well, she does, just as Elisha promised. Well, fast forward the tape to here in verse 18, and this boy has now grown up. But then suddenly one day, he develops a severe headache unexplainably. He's out in the fields with his father, and soon after, he dies. Well, this woman immediately went to find Elisha. He returned with her, and here in verse 34, we read that he miraculously raises her son from the dead. Now, we're not through. Sometime later, Elisha returns to Gilgal, and there's a community of prophets there. It's a time of famine. One of the prophets gathers some herbs and wild gourds to make a pot of stew. That's the kind, you know, where you just sort of throw everything into the pot and hope for the best. Verse 40 records that when they tasted it, they cried out, "There is death in the pot." That's probably what people would say if they ate my cooking. Well, something's in this pot here, evidently, that's poisonous. And Elisha, in verse 41, miraculously purifies the food so that all these prophets can eat it. There's one final miracle recorded here in chapter 4, And this is when Elisha multiplies 20 loaves of barley and some ears of grain to feed 100 men. Verse 44 tells us that they all ate and had some left, that is, left over, according to the word of the Lord. Now, that sort of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Oh, let me tell you, it is. These miracles are prefiguring the miraculous demonstrations of the coming Messiah. What's he going to do? He's going to feed the multitudes with food left over. He's going to care for the poor, the widow. He's even going to raise the dead by his own miraculous power. And with that, we're out of time. Until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Isn't it remarkable to see that connection between the ministry of Elisha and the ministry of Jesus Christ? It's so encouraging to discover how God's Word always points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. We maintain a library of all the previous episodes of the Wisdom Journey. You'll find that on our website, wisdomonline.org. Go there anytime to listen to any lesson of the Wisdom Journey, free and on demand. Then join us next time right here on the Wisdom Journey.